But the angle that I want to come at today is not just about the seeds that you sow from what you do or what you say, but actually that you are the seed. You are the seed. Now, as I've been studying, we've got another party behind us. I'm going to do my best to stay on track today. oops. Right. Okay, let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is where we're going to begin. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved." It goes on and it says in verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." We could match that up with Hebrews chapter 1. So if you turn to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, it says this in verse 1. It says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." It continues, "After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." I'm going to pause just for a second and let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord Jesus, the word that you've placed on my heart, God, I just pray breaks through every barrier, every boundary that we have erected in front of you. Lord God, I thank you for your word that's going to break through every hardness in our heart, and anything that is damaged or broken, it will bring life and peace. Lord God, have your way this morning. The service belongs to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the reason why I'm saying these things, because again, if we jump into Galatians chapter 2, we're just setting the foundation here. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's pause. Now, this comes from the perspective this morning that you are the seed. You are the seed. Now, why is that important? Because if we want to experience Ephesians 1 or Hebrews 1 in our lives, if we want to experience the significance of what that means in our lives, then we need to first of all do what Galatians 2:20 says, and that is reconcile yourself dead because you have been crucified with Christ. Amen. You have been crucified with Christ. Now, here's the key. A seed doesn't bear fruit until it's in the ground. A seed does not reproduce anything until it is in the ground. The seed must die before it can do anything else. So my question to you this morning and to myself is, are you dead yet? Are you dead yet, or are you still fighting to be alive so you can have your way, your will, your opinion, and if you are still fighting to have the things that you want, or are we saying, no, I am officially reckoning myself as dead because I have been buried and crucified with Christ? Is everyone following me? You see, if we want the fruit of God in our lives, we need to do one thing first of all, and that is first reconcile ourselves as dead to sin because we've been crucified in him. If we want the benefits of the kingdom in our lives, if we want the benefits of being seated with him in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 1, if we are seated with him in heavenly places, we must be crucified with him first. So my question is, are we dead yet? Because as Christians, what happens is we come to church and we lift our hands and we say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in God. I have a relationship with him. That's great. But what about your wants? What about your preferences? What about your pride? What about your arrogance or your ego? What about the things that's getting in the way of you reaping a harvest from the Spirit of God because you are in the way? I love that encounter Moses has with God at the burning bush. When he's going into Egypt and he's saying, who shall I say that sent me? And he said, I am that I am. I love that scripture, and I want to unpack that more over time in another topic, but that is highly significant to how Jesus responded to the Pharisees. Now, God says, I am that I am. If God is the I am, we need to be careful with how we say I am and what comes after that. Because if we are not careful, we can make ourselves an idol. If you are focused too much on the I am in your life or the I am that represents you as an individual, if we focus too much on that I am something, you can be very careful. You need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't enter into idolatry because we have replaced the great I am with ourselves. Are we dead yet? Or are we in the way? God wants to flow through your life. God wants to operate in your life. God wants to bless your life. He wants to work the miraculous through your life. But here's the problem. If you're not dead yet, you're not going to see the fruit of it. The reason why Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days was so there was no doubt that he was dead. Sometimes we go through the baptism, we come in, go in the water, come out the water, we say, yeah, I'm dead, I'm buried, that's me done. But then our attitude never changes, our way of thinking never changes, because although we did the practical expression of our death and burial, we never did the outworking of it in our hearts. Is everyone following me? It's highly important in these last days that we as children of God are reconciling ourselves with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because if God says to you, Andrew, I have anointed you, positioned you, and empowered you to do my will, you're not going to see that come to pass until we see ourselves dead, buried, and resurrected with Jesus Christ. And that's not just with that. I'm just picking on Andrew because he was looking at me. Which means every one of you are in danger right now. Every single one of us have to do this. Every single one of us have to say to Jesus, Jesus, I was crucified with you. We pray the salvation prayer and we say, Lord, you took my shame, you took my guilt. That's true. But he died as us. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I love this stuff. This stuff gets me going. This stuff gets me preaching because at the end of the day, if we want to see a harvest of souls come into the kingdom, I put that message out on a lot of the groups today, over this week. This belief for a harvest of souls. What does that mean? What does that look like? That sounds like something a little bit spooky. No, this is what we're believing for. We're believing for a tidal wave, a tsunami of salvation coming in, and I'm expecting it in Jesus' name. If we're not, what are we doing? If we're not, what are we doing? We're wasting our time. Seriously, if we do not have an expectation of a harvest of souls in this place on a Sunday morning, we are wasting our time. This is not a social group. This is not a social gathering. This is an aggressive expression of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're going to aggressively attack the enemy. We're going to aggressively come into the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from. I love that little Pentecostal song. Went to the enemy's camp, took back what he stole from me. That's my age showing. If you don't know that song, you're clearly not cool enough. But the reality is this. Our positioning in this territory right now, I'm not going to call it Waterloo, I'm going to call it a territory. Because we have to have a territorial mindset. That where you have been positioned by God, where you have been appointed by God, now becomes your territory. When we come together as children of God on a Sunday morning, this is our territory. This is our land. Amen? Okay, we've got a few people that agree with me and believe that. How about you guys over here? Do you guys believe that? Yeah? Now, we honor authority. We honor the ownership of the all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to start being a rebellion to every person that's out there running things. We get it. But we have to operate in the spirit of who we are. We need to claim the fruit that comes out of the spirit of who we are, because we have seen ourselves as the seed and we've declared ourselves as dead in Christ so we can be resurrected in Christ. And the exciting thing is this. You're not just resurrected with Christ. Something happened after that that's highly significant. You were ascended with Christ. You ascended with Christ. You don't get the benefits of the ascension unless you first reckon self is dead. If we don't see ourselves as dead and buried, the old Shanae is gone. Delia, the old you is gone. The old me is gone, buried. It's in the ground and it's not coming back again. But I've been resurrected to new life in Christ Jesus, and so have you. Like the other week, I spoke about two things. I spoke about delegated authority and inherited authority. As children of God, we have what's called inherited authority because we are now children of the King. Amen? Amen? Amen. The team that you saw earlier on, they have what's called delegated authority. They've got authority to represent that department, okay? So they're representing that department to help those who are ministering and those who are pastoring do a better job, because that's what we want to do. We want to be effective. It's not always about how big the church is, it's about how effective the church is, and I want to have an effective church. Amen. If you want an effective church, say amen. Amen. Awesome. Brilliant. Okay. Now, in thinking about these things, there was two questions that I wanted to ask everybody. Now, I'm conscious of the way that people function in society at the moment, and I always like to pay attention to what's trending or what's going on at the moment, especially within leadership circles and corporate circles. When you start going down the road of being life coached or coached or any kind of professional manner, when I think about how we operate as children of God and how we operate as the family of God, and if we are in fact dead in Christ, resurrected in Christ, ascended in Christ, and then seated with Christ and positioned in Him, if that is truly the case, then the question that I'm about to ask now will make a lot more sense. What is the difference between manifestation manipulation and the declaration of faith? Because again, when you follow the trends of training and coaching and development, or if people want to be successful in a certain thing, they are told to speak it out. Speak out what you want. Speak out what you think. Speak out what you want for your life. And what happens is that you are creating, what they tell you is that you are creating your world with what you say. That's called manipulation, manifestation. You are using your words to manipulate the world around you to give you what you want. It's demonic. So what is the difference between that and the declaration of faith? My simple answer, there is a longer answer, but the simple answer is this. One produces more of you, and one produces more of God. It's that simple. What's the difference? Are you speaking out into your world because you want more of what you want? Or are you speaking out into your world because you want more of God in your world? That's the difference. Then my second question was this. I did some posh slides, but we'll show you next week. What is the difference between confidence and delusion? Because again, following the thought process of what you speak out, you experience, the manipulation of your world, comes a false view of yourself. That people end up thinking and believing that they are better than what they actually are, which means it produces arrogance, ego, and pride, and they can't learn, can't do anything else, or can't be corrected, because as far as they're concerned, they're the best thing since sliced bread. But the reality is, again, going back to what God said over here, there is no good thing in the flesh. There's no good thing in you. That's why we needed to be crucified. That's why we needed to be dead in Him so we can be resurrected in Him, because there's no good thing in the flesh. We read through Romans 5 and it talks all about the need for faith and that righteousness comes from faith and faith alone. We then go into Romans chapter 6, which talks about being dead in our sin and whether we should continue to sin so grace may abound. By no means. How can you continue to serve a slave that you are dead to? If you are obedient to sin, then you're a slave to sin. If you're obedient to righteousness, then you are a slave to a condition called righteousness. And then Paul goes into Romans chapter 7 and says, the good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Who will save me from this wretched body? Who will save me from this body of death? And he ends with this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, the more confident in ourself we are, the bigger issue we become. The more confident in Him we are, the more we see Him operating in our lives. So go back to my original question. Are you dead yet? Are you convincing yourself that your confidence is actually what you need to have? Or maybe it's just a little bit of delusion. But rather we need to say, no, there is no good thing in me. I am nothing without Jesus Christ. And He is crucified me in Himself so He can resurrect me in Himself and then ascend with me in Him and seat me next to the Father in Him. So now when the enemy comes looking for you, he's not going to find you. When the enemy comes looking for you, he's not going to find you. He's not going to find your family. He's going to find Jesus Christ, because you are in Him and He is in you. You see, you have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. You have been cleansed and made whiter than snow. You have been positioned in the most highest place you could be in Christ Jesus. There is no higher place, because you are seated in Him. Now, don't get me wrong. You are not Jesus. You are not. No matter what anybody says. But you are hidden in Him. Let me show you real quick. Here I've got my Bible. Okay? If I take this flyer and I put it inside my Bible. Okay? If I close the Bible, that flyer is now in my Bible, correct? If I throw my Bible into the fire, what happens to the flyer? Right, it's going to burn, okay? If I throw my Bible into the fire, if I throw my Bible into the fire, the flyer will also burn. If I throw my Bible into the river, what's going to happen to the flyer? It's going to get wet. You are in Christ. When you are crucified in Christ, you are in Him. When you are buried in Christ, you are in Him. When you are resurrected to new life, you are in Him. When He ascended, you are in Him. Is someone getting this morning? So you see, it's no longer about how good we think we are, because there's no good thing in you. The goodness of God is in you. Amen? The goodness of God is in you. So, your life is a garden, but you are the seed. We know that Jesus is the incorruptible seed. We know that. We know the Word of God is the imperishable seed. We know that. But this morning, see yourself as the seed and ask yourself, am I dead yet? Or am I still in the way? Because God wants to do more through your life than you ever thought possible. Turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to do something amazing in your life. Just shout it, Marika. Just shout it. Now turn to the other person and say, but are you in the way? I'm seeing who's looking at people. I'm just seeing who's like, right, they know, right? They know someone's on the hunt. The reality is we're often in the way a lot. Often in the way a lot. It's why, you know, there's so many times that God does a miracle in people's lives, and what He does is He causes them to go to sleep. The biggest reason, I believe, is to get them out of the way. I need to do a work. I need you to shut up. Just go to sleep. Sometimes the best thing you can do is go to sleep. Sometimes, this is for someone this morning. You've been praying for something for years, and it's been such a strive in your prayer. The problem is, you think it's all on your prayers. You think it's all about how hard you pray. Nah. You've prayed. God's heard you. Now get out of the way. Are you dead yet? Or are you just in the way? Your life is a seed, and it's about to produce a harvest. It's about to produce a harvest. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to bring a harvest. Right. Now, together, we're going to bring a harvest, and we're going to see a harvest of souls come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray this together. If you've never given your life to the Lord and this is your morning, and if you've been away from God, if you feel like you've been disconnected from God, then this is your morning. It's really important that you see yourself as dead to sin, crucified in Christ, so you can really believe and receive the blessings that come through the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Because you've been positioned in Him and hidden in Him. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying on my behalf. Thank you for taking my sin and my shame so I can be free of all of those things. Jesus, I thank you that you died as me. And you rose from the dead as me. Jesus, I call you Lord. I call you Savior. I call you friend. right now, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, if you've been disconnected from God and you're coming back to God this morning, if you want to get right with Jesus this morning, this is your chance. So I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to lift your hand. One, get ready. This is your morning. The expectation is high in this place because you're going to reconnect yourself with God this morning. Two, get ready. Really bold, really strong, hand in the air. Three, if that's you this morning, lift your hand. If you want to get right and reconnect your life back to God again this morning. Hallelujah. Brilliant. Now, for the rest of everybody, this is what we're going to be doing. If you recognize that you have been in the way, and if you recognize that you have probably have not seen yourself as dead as you should have, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Just while every eye is closed, just begin to lift your hands. Just begin to speak to Jesus. If you recognize that you've been in the way, just speak to Him. If you need to repent, if you need to apologize, then do that. Father God, I thank you for every person that's standing in this room that recognizes that they were probably in the way a little bit too much. I'm standing up as well because that includes me. Jesus, I thank you for your great grace and your peace this morning. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. I thank you for the cleansing of your blood. So Lord God, I thank you that right now every one of us have been repositioned again through repentance and the forgiveness of our sin. For the forgiveness of our pride, where we've maybe had a little bit more too much delusion and confidence in ourselves instead of having confidence in you. Maybe we've had too much, we've been influenced by the manifestation, manipulation of what we want, we get. No, we want more of you in our lives. Lord God, I just thank you right now for your great peace this morning, your great grace. Holy Ghost, I pray this, that you conclude this message in people's hearts. As we go through the season of identifying that our life is the garden, today we're seeing ourselves as the seed. We're reconciling ourselves as dead to sin so we can be alive to righteousness. Jesus, I thank you for your great grace this morning. And I bless every household, bless every man, woman, and child, Lord God. And I thank you for the harvest of souls that is coming into your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that every one of us be responsible for bringing in that harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give God a round of applause. Hallelujah. Right. Time is gone, but let me just bless you guys real quick before we disappear, okay? Father God, I just bless every household in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of Deuteronomy chapter 28, Lord God. Father, I thank you that every person here is the head and not the tail. God, they are the lender, not the borrower. Lord God, I thank you for financial freedom. Lord God, I thank you that debts are being wiped out. Lord, where there is legal situations going on, Lord God, I thank you for your favor and your grace in those positions. Lord God, I thank you for jobs, houses, finances, cars, whatever. Lord God, I thank you that you are the source of what we need so we can glorify you when it comes into our life. Lord God, I bless your name. And Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Everyone give God a round of applause.